I'm Jill Griffin, and this is the Career Refresh Podcast. I'm a former media and marketing executive turned career strategist and strengths coach. I spent my career working my way up and through the ranks of global organizations and startups. And today, I show others how to do the same. Join me each week as we discuss the strategies to leverage your strengths, increase your confidence and visibility, and reset your career with actionable steps towards a finer future. Ready? Let's do it. Hey friends, welcome back. I want to just take a moment and thank you and thank the hundreds of you who have reached out in response to my article that I published on the Huffington Post. The title of the article was, I Hid My Disability for 6 Years, and When I Stopped, My Entire Life Changed. I'll put the link to that in the show notes if you do want to read it, but I wrote the article with the hopes that we would create awareness of the challenges and obstacles that your colleagues may be facing, but you don't even realize it. So I want to share two of the recent responses that I received. The first is from a woman who said, I wanted to reach out because your article in the Huffington Post made me cry. I have severe Meniere's disease, and I have many of the same triggers that you do. I've always felt that I was not truly disabled because people can't see my disease, and I hide it as much as possible. Thank you for writing your article. It has given me a completely new perspective. And then the other comment came from a man who just said, Jill, I read your piece in the HuffPo and I finally feel seen. You have given me language to express to others what it is that I go through. My hope is to create a broader culture of inclusion in the workplace. My goal is to help others create a career well-being that works for them and is not dependent on a locale or a single workplace. Your career well-being has to fit sort of in your carry-on. It has to come with you wherever you go. And it has to be based on you and what you want and not what any workplace says they're going to give to you. As I said recently, that the employee wellness industry is an $8 billion industry, and it ain't working, folks. So we need to take the onus on ourselves. And here's what I mean by that. I always come from root cause resolution, where we need to get to the cause. But right now we need to get to the symptoms. And the symptoms are that so many people are trying to figure out how to work within. So I'm here to give you ideas and tools for how you may want to navigate. And then if enough of us do this, we can create change. So I also want to thank my colleagues for all the love and support that they have given me to help me move mountains. And this is Erica, Brent, and Olivier are just a few to name, and you have been a tremendous joy in my career and in my journey. All right, this week's topic. It's about how to manage your peers and get the people who don't work for you to do work for you. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about skirting and like cheating out on your own work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about so often when we're in organizations, we have to partner and cross-pollinate with other departments in order to create our work. But if there's competing priorities, it's going to be hard. And sometimes we gel with our colleagues and we have a really collaborative culture. And other times we work in sort of fiefdoms and it feels really competitive on the inside. And I've found from my own personal experience and the experience that many clients have shared with me that this usually happens when there's low emotional intelligence and there's an incongruency around goals. So if you are intent on meeting deadlines, reaching sales goals, that you forget the human side of work, then you may want to refresh how you're going about working with your peers. So we all know the stories of the colleague who's highly skilled, who got promoted into a leadership role, and then utterly failed. We also know the stories of the person who was like average, got promoted, and totally soared. And it's usually because of emotional intelligence. The higher you rise within your department, your company, or your career, you are going to have an easier time if you strengthen your emotional IQ. Managing across requires emotional intelligence, things like self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, social skills. Thinking about how you want to show up and how you want to be seen by your peers, and then developing your emotional intelligence is going to help you understand your own and others' priorities, their pressures, and their work styles. When we have shared goals and the OKRs are clear, and that's objective and key results, then people tend to be much more willing to find the way to find the shared win. But when we have different goals, I once worked at a major media company where the sales team was out there selling inventory to brands and people who wanted to advertise, but the editorial team was selling the exact same inventory to syndication and native advertising. So I basically wanted to sit there with a bowl of popcorn and watch edit and sales duke it out. Ultimately, the inventory ended up going to the highest bidder, but it meant that someone had to disappoint a customer. And the lack of clearly defined goals and alignment resulted in damaging credibility all around. The next time both editorial and sales went into the marketplace, there was a lot of skepticism. So let's look at how you can think about going to colleagues and creating the direct path, which is like, hey, I need this for you, often doesn't work. The indirect path may be a better approach. So you want to build your network and connections before you really need them, because your work life is going to be a lot easier. So some suggestions. One, find the opportunities to laugh. Some of the greatest bonds that I have formed with colleagues have been over a shared laugh about the ridiculousness of the work that we were doing at the time. Work is awesome and creative and strategic and innovative, but it also can be equally ridiculous when you get a wacky client request or something just crazy happens. Find the opportunities to laugh. And then you might want to also sprinkle on the charm. So I'm not suggesting that you be inauthentic, but you can figure out when you have similarities with colleagues. Maybe you went to similar colleges or universities, or there's professional groups that you're both a part of, or you have some shared interest. It's really easy to do a LinkedIn search and see what they're involved in. Also, be free with your compliments. Again, don't be disingenuous. Compliment them because you really think they did a good job. But if your colleague did a great job on a recent project or presentation, let them know. And then when you do your research on what it is that they did, be sincere and be specific. So when you tell someone like, oh, you did a great job on that presentation, that's helpful. But if you tell them they did a great job in the presentation and they really nailed that one particular point, that is what creates the connection where the person's like, wow, this colleague of mine really listened to me and really listened to the presentation. So it's obviously best to do this before you actually need it so that you're not like a total dick. And then you can build these relationships in advance. Next, I want you to think about, are there gifts and favors you can do in advance? I'm not talking about payola and I'm not talking about a bribe. I used to lead a digital media strategy for Absolut Vodka, and I assure you that I made sure that finance, IT, hospitality, business affairs were all kept very well stocked. And I'm not suggesting again that you're bribing someone and don't do anything in violation of your company policy, but there are small things and small favors you can do for colleagues. A client of mine recently sent a colleague who had a love of the American Southwest and puzzles, a puzzle of the Red Rocks of Sedona, and it was like $20. The colleague who received the puzzle was totally thrilled, and I'm going to bet that my client is going to be in a really good shape the next time she needs a quick turnaround on a quick ask when she needs to rely on that colleague. And then I want to bring it back to emotional intelligence. You can't come in with the hard sell to make your point. You may need to create some self-awareness and be clear on how do you come across. And you might want to deploy some self-regulation so that you're not acting overly emotional. You know, happy and positive here is good, but angry, competitive, and combative is not the kinds of emotion we obviously want here. That self-regulation will really help you regulate those negative emotions. And you may want to think about motivation, right? Keeping your sights on what it is that you want to achieve, bringing that inspiration, finding that shared win with your colleague. It's going to be really helpful. Tapping into your empathy so that you can garner how the other party might feel about your ask and start to think in advance what obstacles might come up so you can start to strategize how they can feel more comfortable about the ask. And last, use your social skills. Talk a little less, listen a little more. All right, my friend, you can manage those that don't report to you. It just requires a strategic mindset. And listen, I've said this in recent episodes. I'm going to say it again. I want to give you the career wake-up call you are waiting for. If you are always wondering, is this it? you have this like gaping career size hole in you going, I work so hard. I got a good job. I have a good title. But is this all there is? Then I want to help you know your genius and design your career trajectory. I want to help you develop the confidence you need to secure a future that reflects not just your talents, but who you actually are. This is about stopping the job hopping. This is about, even if you want to stay within your company, how you can think about your executive presence, form network relationships, know when to speak up, and if you do, how to do it so that you're eloquent and they're heard, that people can hear you. And if you're experiencing any of these feelings about the job hopping or the frustration or like the wonder, I call it a corporate identity crisis. But the good news, as I've said, is on every side of a crisis is clarity, direction, and possibility for a totally different career. I've helped hundreds of people increase their visibility, create a career narrative, and design this bigger and brighter future using this proven career framework. This program starts soon, this month, in February of 2022. And if you want to be in the know, get on the list in the notes, in the show notes, so you can get all the details. Okay? All right, everybody, have a beautiful week, and I will see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Career Refresh Podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast and you want more career and mindset tips, get on my email list by going to jillgriffincoaching.com. I'll also put that link in the show notes. But before you go, please rate and review this podcast as it helps me get the word out to people everywhere so they can also thrive in the workplace. I'll see you next time.